Well, this is a different sermon to normal, isn't it, Andrew? Well, yeah, I guess it probably is, yeah. I mean, yeah, because normally we talk to them, but right now I just want to talk to you. Oh, okay, sure. I mean, it's a bit awkward, isn't it, because they're all listening. But yeah, I agree that it'd be good for us to have a bit of time just talking to ourselves, Andrew. It's a bit awkward, isn't it, with all them listening in, but well, that's okay. Maybe I'll talk to them in a minute. But Andrew, I want you to hear this word to you today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And all these words I command you today shall be on your heart. Well, that's a good point, Andrew. I must think about that, having these words to... Oh, hello, everybody. This is a different kind of sermon, because this is a sermon all about talking to ourselves. And I'm not going to do the whole thing talking to myself, because I thought about it. I thought that is even too weird. I thought I can manage an introduction like that just to get your attention and so you remember. I can't quite do the whole thing. But that's what this sermon is about the benefit of not just speaking to other people about God, although that is useful and that's what I do most Sundays. It's what we do to each other when we sing songs. We're singing truth about God to each other. That's useful. But I want to commend this practice of talking to ourselves. And it's something that the Bible recommends quite often. So this isn't a sign of madness. At home, I speak mainly to my dog, so, as some of you know, to Gustav. I have long conversations with him. I find he's an excellent conversation partner because he never answers back, apart from to give occasional affirming wags of the tail to whatever I suggest, which he thinks is a brilliant idea. In fact, you can say anything in the right tone of voice, and he gets very excited, like, Gustav, Gustav, is it time for you to stop being so naughty? And then he'll wag his tail, you know, it's brilliant. So in lieu of talking to myself, I sometimes talk to my dog. Maybe you do the same thing. But actually, it can be a very healthy thing to do, to talk to yourself, to say to yourself what is true. And it can be a helpful thing to censor yourself, to stop you saying to yourself what is false. And that's what today is all about. It's about mental hygiene. So just as you can improve your digestive hygiene by cutting down on chocolate and increasing your number of 5 a day vegetables. So you can increase your spiritual hygiene by improving what goes into your heart and by pruning what's there in order to take some stuff out. So what you put in, what you put out, it's a bit like digestion, but it's mental, spiritual health. And I want to think about that because this headline today, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. I mean, this is what Deuteronomy has been about, the whole thing. So, you know, if you've been here the whole series, you'll have heard this going over and over again. It's a book about loving God. We've chosen this, someone's designed for us, this little graphic, which I love, the heartometer, and it's on full on the little diagram. And you probably wish that yours is on full. But if you're honest, you're probably a little bit more like Philip Miles than Julia in the sketch. You know, there's all sorts of things that we run after, and sometimes we forget God. And so as an aspiration, I'd like to love the Lord your God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. But how? How do I do that? And so this sermon is going to be a bit about that, how to maintain a healthy heart. And I've got basically 2 points, but the second point has got 3 points. So it's actually, what is that? That's actually 4 points, isn't it? Anyway, there we go. I numbered them as 1 and 2. So how to maintain a healthy heart. The first one is what you put into your heart in terms of words. It's not about lowering your cholesterol, which I say painfully because I've got a bad family history genetically of high cholesterol. But it's not about it's not about stop eating red meat or anything. This is about what you put into your heart in terms of words. A healthy heart is a heart that is going to be filled with God's words. So look at those verses we looked at so many times, but I didn't really notice this until this week. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. I've not noticed it. It's right there, right in the middle of the Shema, the middle of that statement that every Jewish person says over and over again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. These words shall be on your heart. And of course, those two things are connected. The way to love God has got something to do with what we do with his words. God's words are sustaining of spiritual love in the same way as food is sustaining of physical life. Hence, Deuteronomy says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You can live physically by bread, but if you want to live spiritually, and if you want to love God spiritually, you'll need his words. So fill your heart with words. How do you do that? You can fill your ears with words by, I guess, coming to church, coming to Bible study on a Tuesday night, opening your Bible and reading it to yourself. But to fill your heart with words, how do you do that? I think it's about filling your mind with the things that God says. And the way to fill it with what God says is to say it to yourself over and over and over again. I sometimes in the Bible it's described as meditating on God's words. In Psalm 1 it talks about the man who meditates on the law of God day and night. I think it's about that. And I want to tell you how to do that just for a moment. So this is how to do meditation. I don't really know, but this is the way that people in London mostly do it. I can't actually do this because it requires extremely painful sort of crossing of the legs like this. And then my doctrine lecturer at church always used to talk about sitting in a pose that looked like you were unscrewing tiny light bulbs. And then you have to just imagine. Now, this is not what meditation means, okay? This is what our culture thinks is meditation. It's not biblical meditation. It doesn't mean sort of filling your emptying your mind and then sitting in a darkened room and unscrewing tiny light bulbs. Meditating in the Bible, meditating means muttering. So there's a verse in the beginning of Joshua that I love, and it says, these words shall not depart from your mouth. I love that. The way that to not lose them out of your heart is to not lose them out of your mouth. How do you keep words in your mouth? Just think about the mental image. I think it means you keep saying them. It's the way in which they don't leave your mouth because your tongue continues to mutter them to yourself. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And you, as you say it to yourself over and over and over again, that becomes the thing that's being played on the soundtrack of your head. It becomes the thing that you fill your heart with. So meditation doesn't mean clearing your mind. Meditation means sticking stuff into your mind. And the way you get it into your mind is by saying it to yourself. So talk to yourself. I talk to Gustav a lot. I don't talk to Gustav a lot about scripture. I probably should, shouldn't I? I mean, he's not going to understand it, being an unregenerate dog. But I will hear the words, and as I think about them more, they're just going to have a bigger proportion of the headspace in my head, in my mind. And therefore, they're going to fill my heart. Because the way to love your God with all your heart is for these words to be on your heart. And the way for these words to be on your heart is for these words to be in your mouth. I want to read some words from a book, a very famous book from years and years ago called Spiritual Depression by one of the last century's most famous preachers, a guy called Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he talks about how as Christians we can get and we get depressed sort of mentally, but we can get spiritually depressed as well, where we feel quite down about things. And he has this very wonderful book about this, and he begins like this. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness of life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. He says this: take those moments that come to you when you wake up in the morning. You haven't originated them, but they start talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday, etc. Somebody is talking. Who's talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. Now, the Bible's solution is this: instead of allowing ourselves to talk to us, we should start to talk to ourselves. And he takes his cue from the Psalms. We actually said one of the Psalms together, Psalm 103. And we talked to our soul. Psalm 42 is the same. Psalm 42 is addressed to your soul. It's quite interesting. If you look at the songs in the Bible, some of them are addressed to other people. Come, let us worship the Lord together. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some of them are addressed to God. My God, why have you forsaken me? So there's prayers to God, there's prayers to each other, and there's prayers to your soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That's what we just said together. Who are you talking to? You're talking to yourself. And he's saying this is a great antidote. So rather than allowing your thoughts to be hijacked by worries, by negative things, by lies, take yourself in hand and start to talk to yourself. That's the advice of the Bible. It's the advice of Deuteronomy. Control the mental playlist by speaking truth to yourself. And it just struck me, again, I'm sort of bringing all of what we learned in Deuteronomy together to say this. We'll come back to chapter 7, 8, 9 in a second. But it struck me that this is the unique privilege of having a God who speaks. So we saw that in Deuteronomy, didn't we, as well? That when they met God at Mount Sinai, they heard the sound of words because the Lord himself spoke to them out of the fire. Now, if you're not a Christian and you're in this world, one of the things that you lack to understand yourself is an external voice. So all you have is your own sense of who you are, your own thoughts, your own attempt to fathom, to get to the bottom of what's going on in this world. And you're there and you're just trying to think your way out of a problem. And it seems to me that the great blessing of a Christian is we have a voice from outside us that is allowed to trump the voice inside us. You know, so you wake up with all sorts of things in your head, but you can replace the things that are in your head with the things that God says from outside. It's a great help. So in stage one, how to maintain a healthy heart, fill your heart with God's words. Let the things that God says take over your head and displace the things that you say. And the way to do that is to talk to yourself and make sure that the things that you say, that you meditate on, that you say over and over again, are God's truths. Okay, so far so good, but we've got to get into these actual verses. And these verses are the opposite side of the equation. So fill your heart with God's words, but empty your heart of lies. And you'll see, and I got quite excited about this when I was preparing it, when I realized this whole section of Deuteronomy is about things that you shouldn't say in your heart. So chapter 7, verse 17, if you say in your heart, or chapter 8, verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, or chapter 9, verse 4, do not say in your heart. So put into your heart the things that God says, and then take out of your heart, or at least stop yourself saying in your heart, these lies. Now, I don't know whether you ever do this, whether you ever exercise this sort of mental self-control where you decide what you will think about. And that's what Deuteronomy is encouraging us to do. Do not say in your heart these things. It's actually a command about what to think, rather than just what to do. I mean, that's true in the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Even the tenth commandment, is a commandment about what to think. Do not covet means do not in your heart desire or want. How do you do that? How do you stop yourself thinking something? Well, the answer is you exercise this kind of mental hygiene. That when you catch yourself saying in your head, da 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 da, stop, Andy, stop that. You're not going to think that anymore. and then you've got to switch it for something else. It's quite difficult to do, actually. It's like that classic thing of, do not think about a large pink elephant. Do not think about a large pink elephant. And everyone in the room is thinking of a large pink elephant right now, and you just can't help yourself. So just to tell yourself to stop thinking of it is very difficult. But you can do the thought switch. Instead of thinking about a large pink elephant, I'm going to start to fill my head with God's words. Oh, I'll just choose some verses and start reading them to myself and thinking about them. Now, of course, and this is something that the psychiatrists have also worked out is a really good idea. So there's one of the most effective kinds of therapy nowadays is called CBT. You'll have heard of it, cognitive behavioral therapy. It's basically just this. It's basically the way to change mental problems or to address mental problems is to change what you think about and to change what you do. So you try to change the patterns of thinking in your head and then the behaviours that go with that. And that's absolutely right. And Deuteronomy got there first before modern psychology caught up. So often people get anxious because they get trapped in cycles of the same thoughts and they can't get out of them. And then sometimes that can get really out of control in anxiety disorders. Or people get depressed because they have a low sense of themselves and they keep telling themselves bad things. And they can get trapped in that. And this is what Deuteronomy is telling us about. How do you sort out your mental hygiene? Well, increase the input of what's true. Say to yourself, meditate on God's words, and decrease the headspace of the things that are false. And I've got three things here that we're not supposed to say in our heart. And you'll find it's a little bit different from pop psychology, because pop psychology, the version of it, is you're meant to say to yourself, I am great, I can achieve this, I am valuable, I can conquer everything. You know, that's what you're supposed to say. And it turns out the Deuteronomy version isn't quite the same, because the aim here isn't to love yourself more. The aim here is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So here's three things that God says that we shouldn't say in our heart. Number one, I don't think I can do it. That this is self-doubt. I'm not up to this. I can't face this. This is too much for me. You probably all recognize this, right? This is one of the things that goes on in our head. I'm not equal to this. I feel daunted by this. And I can certainly relate to that. Like sometimes the Christian life seems daunting. Or sometimes the obstacles, spiritual obstacles in front of us just seem overwhelming. And that's the first one here. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 17. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? Now, the context is they're about to go into the promised land to conquer. We're not about to conquer a land on behalf of God. We're not called to actual military action. But the conquest of the promised land is a paradigm for the Christian life, pressing on in the battles of the Christian life until we get safely to the new creation. So there's a kind of equivalent for us. I'm daunted by the obstacles of the Christian life. To stay faithful to God, to keep speaking up for him, to be a Christian in this, to fulfill all the responsibilities that the Lord has given me before him. I'm just daunted by it. I can tell you I've been feeling that recently. I'm not up to this. But the solution, here's the interesting thing, I don't think I can do it. What is the popular psychology solution? You can do it! Go you! You can do this! You've got this! That's not the Deuteronomy solution. I don't think I can do it. Of course you can't. Of course you can't do it. But God can do it. So the solution to lack of self-confidence is God confidence. Just look at the answer. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? Don't be afraid of them. But remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to Egypt. The great trials your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So will the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you're afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send hornets among them. until those who are left hide themselves from you are destroyed. You shall not be in dread of them, for you can do it. No, you shall not be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. When you feel daunted by the Christian life, remember how strong God is. Remember his track record. Remember battles previously that he's won. And remember his commitment to get you safely home. I don't think I can do it. No, you can't. But God will be gracious to you. Now, I don't know you guys, in terms of your inner thoughts. And I don't know whether you battle the same things that I do. But I can tell you, sometimes it's the beginning of term. And you just think, gosh, I don't think I'm not equal to this. Sometimes it's preaching on a Sunday. Well, who am I to stand up before all these people and have to... maybe you feel that about being a Christian witness at work, being consistently Christian in your family, some of the battles with temptation you have to face. And maybe you feel small. Well, there's nothing wrong with feeling small, but just remember that God is very big. Number one. And this is the thought control thing. So when you find yourself feeling, oh, I feel small, I feel daunted, at that point, say, stop it. I'm not going to say that in my heart. And then switch your playlist in your head and choose verses like this. It's a great one. The wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. Don't be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. Have a verse about God and his strength. And start saying that over and over in your head instead of the mental concern about your weakness. Number one, don't say, I don't think I can do it. Number two, and this is sort of interesting, a sort of flip side of that. Don't say, look what I've achieved. It's chapter 8, verse 17. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Look at the Andrew Satch ministries. By the way, if I ever try to name any bit of Grace Church Greenwich after myself, please shoot me, okay? You think, what is going on with this? Some of these internet ministries, Andrew Satch Ministries International. It's just, for me, it rings major, major alarm bells. But something where my Christian success in my Christian life is down to, well done, Andrew. My power and the might of my hand. Like, no. And you see, it's actually the flip side of error one. So error one is self-doubt. I don't think I can do it. Error two is self-congratulation. Oh, look how I've done it. It's really the same issue both times. It's all about me issue. It's all about me and I'm not up to it, or it's all about me and I am up to it, but I basically got the same error. It's not about you. It's not about our might. It's not about our grace. No. The error, first one, is God will be gracious. The second error is God has been gracious. And here's the little twist to number two. It's if you think it's down to yourself and well done me, then faithfulness to the Lord and repentance doesn't become as important. So if I think my success is my own making, repentance isn't a big ingredient in that equation. Whereas if you say God is the one that I depend on for everything, I better be faithful to him. I better stay with him. I better turn away from sin. Verse 19, if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods, you'll perish. So sometimes pride or self-confidence can be the thing that most blinds us to spiritual need. Whereas when we're spiritually dependent on God, then that keeps us close to the things that matter, turning from sin, trusting his forgiveness, walking with him in repentance. I don't think I can do it. No, you can't do it. God can do it. I think I have done it. No, you haven't. God has done it. And then the last one, and again, I love the fact that there's three of these. So we're looking at quite a big section. This is across three chapters. But these little phrases keep coming. Do not say in your heart, beware lest you say in your heart. Do you not say in your heart? And the last one, I want you to think about this. I think this is also kind of related, but it's in a more subtle way. Do you not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it's because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. This last one, and it's sort of half right compared with the previous two. The first one says, I can't do it. No, you can't. God does it. The second one says, I did do it. No, you didn't. God did it. The third one goes, okay, I've got it. God did it. Yeah, God did it, but he did it because I'm so great. It's a sort of slightly more theologically correct version of the same error. Yeah, okay, God is the one who saved me, but he saved me because he was so impressed by me. He saved me because I was such a good Christian. He saved me because I deserved it. This is the lie of the Pharisee. The Pharisee kind of believes in God. But he prays about himself. Lord, I thank you I'm not like other men. Tax collectors. Sinners. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I have. Self-assured. Self-righteous. God's going to save me because he's very impressed by me. And Moses gives a slap down here. Don't say in your heart, after the Lord God has thrust them out before you, it's because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess the land. Where? It's because of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord is driving out. So it's the reminder that the fundamental reason why the Canaanites get evicted from the promised land is because the Canaanites were evil and God judges them. It's not because Israel was so deserving of the promised land. It's because Canaan was so undeserving of the promised land. That's the first thing he says. And then he says, besides which, you weren't righteous. You were stubborn. Verse 6. Verse 7, don't forget how you provoked the Lord to anger, to wrath in the wilderness. We looked at this in our grace group study, some of us, when God's people missed out on the promised land the first time. And for 40 years they had to wander in the desert because of their rebellion. And I love this, verse 7. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath. What's one of the most important things to remember in your heart? I'm a sinner and I made God angry. You've got to remember that. Some people say, oh, why is it your church is always, you have a confession every week? It's so negative. You know, you're always talking about sin all the time. That's a good thing, isn't it? Remember and do not forget how you provoke the Lord. We've got to remember that we're sinners before the Lord. We've got to remember that we made him angry. And then, when God's been gracious to you, we'll interpret it as grace to us. It's not a pat on the back. It's a wow. Look at how kind God was to me when I was far from him. Pure grace. And all of these things, Deuteronomy says, we've got to be policing in our head. So in case you catch yourself in any of these three things, you catch yourself saying, I'm daunted. I'm not up to this. Of course you're not. Now, whoever said that we were up to it? No, God is up to it. Remember the Lord your God's in your midst, a great and awesome God. There's nothing wrong with that feeling of being very small as long as we turn it to confidence in God. Don't despair, but don't replace it with self-confidence. Replace it with God-confidence. And it might be that that's something you've got to do. You catch yourself saying, oh, I'm useless, I'm worthless, I can't manage this, it's too much for me. How will I get through this? Andy, stop it. Stop that. We're going to talk about something else today in the playlist of Andy Satch's head. We're going to say Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 18. Remember what the Lord your God did. The great trials my eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. You shall not be in dread of them. The Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. I haven't learned this verse by heart, but wouldn't it be a good thing to learn by heart? To say to myself, every time I catch myself, I don't think I can do it. Stop saying that. Start saying this. Mental hygiene. Number one, look what I've achieved. It's a real danger, I think, for Grace Church Greenwich, isn't it? I mean, people say, how well is Grace Church going? I say, like, it's going unbelievably well. I feel, I don't know how you feel, but just, you know, here we are 8 years on, and we sort of multiplied in size by five times bigger than we were, and people coming to faith. There's loads of, you know, brilliant things to celebrate here, I think. We now meet in three places, which we didn't plan, but the Lord... It's okay to be joyful about that. But beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand. We must be very good pastors at Grace Church Greenwich. Or you must be excellent congregation members. I go to a very successful church. Beware. These are things that the Lord has done graciously amongst us. And repentance, staying close to him, turning away from evil, is absolutely key. It could all unravel at any point if we weren't to be godly and trusting in him. So beware, catch yourself in self-despair, catch yourself in self-congratulation. And then the last one, catch yourself in being a the most ugly of all. Oh no, the Lord did it, because he was really so impressed with us. I mean, it's just the ugliest one, isn't it? Self-righteousness. If we ever become a group of people who are spiritually sorted, maybe you think that, by the way, about everybody else here. You come and you think, oh, everybody else at Grace Church, they're so spiritually sorted. Like, nobody here is spiritually sorted. If anyone thinks they are, they're really, really not. They're in trouble. No, not because of our righteousness. No, we need to remember, all of us, remember and do not forget, we're a stubborn people. We make God angry. And yet in his mercy in the gospel, he's counted us to be righteous. There's nobody in here, this room, who deserves to stand before God on any other basis than that. I hope you know that. So when you come to church and you feel guilty, there's never any other basis to stand before him than Jesus' sacrifice. And the people who you envy here, who look like they're sorted, they have no other grounds to stand before God than Jesus' sacrifice. And woe betide us if we begin to congratulate ourselves because of my righteousness. Now, this isn't so much it is a sermon, but it's not so much a sermon as a plea for a new kind of spiritual hygiene. I'd love it if we practiced this. This isn't just truths to know. This is mental substitutions to perform. So do you ever speak to yourself? And do you control what is said in your head? Because that's the invitation. Be a kind of spiritual CBT practitioner. Say to yourself things that the Bible says to you. And the way to do that is basically just to say it over and over again. So just read scripture and read over scripture. So for example, you know, here's this week's sermon. It's just on there. Why don't you say those words to yourself this week? Once a day. Be so good for us, wouldn't it? To get this into our head. Meditate means not let these things depart from your mouth. And if they're in your mouth, then they'll be in your head. And if they're in your head, they'll be in your heart. And you'll start to love God. So fill your heart with these things. And then prune out of your heart, silence from your heart these other things. If you catch yourself saying in your heart, then don't. Stop thinking that. It's quite a surprise, isn't it? The Bible doesn't just tell us what not to do. Don't do evil things. But don't think untrue things. And when you catch yourself thinking and untrue things, say, stop. I'm not going to say that in my heart. That thought is not welcome to airtime in the playlist which I am controlling of my heart. And if you find yourself saying it, it's no point just trying to stop. You know, just don't think about a big pink elephant. Now just displace it by putting something else in your head instead. This is a brilliant thing for a Christian. I can think of counseling Christian friends, and for whatever reason, they struggle because their head is being filled with lies. Maybe from other people, but quite often from themselves. So I can think of a friend with depression, or a friend who thinks nobody likes me. I don't fit in this church, says a friend of mine who does fit in this church, but he just doesn't think he does. I don't think anybody gets on with me, he says, even though everybody likes him, actually. Because he's just got a distorted self-view, that's all. And people get that, don't they? You get people struggle with anorexia, and they have a distorted body image. People struggle with self-esteem, they have a distorted mental image. It's the same sort of thing. And the great thing is that you can say to them, look, stop thinking that. God doesn't agree with you. God thinks your thoughts are wrong. So you have permission to abandon your thoughts and replace them with God's thoughts. Such a relief, isn't it? If all you had to go on with the things that yourself told you, and that is most of the people in our society, like most people out this window right now, their ultimate view of reality is self-made. They're trying to figure out what they're doing in this universe, and what they think about that is the only answer they've got. We've got a much better answer. And it comes from outside because we've got a God who's a speaking God. So if you've got a choice between the things that your head thinks and the things that God says, choose the things that God says. It's much simpler. And kick out of your head all of the lies that are untrue. Do not say in your heart, I'm not up to it. Well, no, of course you're not. But God is. Don't say in your heart, look what I've achieved. You haven't achieved it. We haven't achieved this, Grace Church Greenwich. God has been very kind to us. And don't think God has been kind to us because I'm worth it. Just pick the words of that most amusing hair care advert. You know, I can't do it with the other name. No hair. But you know the one where you sort of run your hair, fingers through your hair and say, I'm worth it. No, Jesus has been so merciful to us as sinners. And so change the playlist in your head. Instead of allowing yourself to talk to you, start talking to yourself, Andrew. I hope you've been listening to this sermon. It's nice to share it with these guys as well, but I hope you're listening, Andrew. Oh, well, I'm kind of listening, yeah. So don't say in your heart these things. Instead, these words of God shall not depart from your mouth and therefore not from your heart. We're going to have a pause to pray, pause to meditate. Why don't you just, if you're thinking, what will I do? My head's going to go blank when they say pause to pray. Why don't you just say some of these things to yourself in the next 30 seconds, and then we're going to be led in prayer together.